W2DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. A shooting on the campus of Michigan State University. Police say a gunman opened fire in multiple locations on campus, killing three and wounding five before running away. Police later located the gunman dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
The shooting marks the 67th mass shooting in the U.S. this year, and it comes 5 years to the day after the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. Michigan Secretary of State describing last night's shooting as unfathomable, saying this repetitive terror cannot continue. We must come together and do whatever it takes to protect our kids and communities from gun violence.
ABC's Rena Roy. U.S. crews say they've now recovered the main payload of the Chinese spy balloon that was shot down off the coast of South Carolina. A judge in Georgia has ordered the partial release of a report by a special grand jury that investigated alleged interference in the 2020 election by former President Trump and allies. This is ABC News. Amid continued questions about the downing of three aerial objects over North America by U.S. fighter jets last week, the White House is facing a range of questions, even now having to put down the notion of whether any of those crafts were otherworldly.
There is no indication of aliens or extraterrestrial activity with these recent takedowns.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. A growing effort to get students more sleep by starting school later. Ridgewood, New Jersey's school board voted last night in favor of changing high school hours to start no earlier than 8:20 a.m. instead of the current time of 7:45. Some teachers supported the change, and proponents cited health studies that say kids need at least 9 hours of sleep a night. Last year, California became the first state to mandate later school times, with middle and high school starting no earlier than 8 and 8:30 a.m., respectively. New York and Massachusetts considering similar measures. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Day equals
Hump
day. Greg Bock Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was going to do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We are back. Tom Hartman Program. I'm Jefferson Smith. I want to talk about homes. What about housing? That, yeah, in the close of the show, I do want to return to shared experience and love for our country and where we find that sandwiched between two secular corporate-built holidays. And I want to talk about if we're talking about our heart, where is our heart? Well, home is where the heart is. What does it take to have a home these days? I did some research, and estimates vary, but it looks like the average home price, according to the Zebra, is $350,000. According to the Motley Fool, it's $430,000. If you ask, so let's call it $400,000 for purpose of easier math, and we can use a few different numbers. If you ask a financial manager, they will say that you shouldn't buy a home that costs more than 2.5 to 3 times, and that's Fidelity Investments advice, 2.5 to 3 times more than your annual income. That means if you're going to afford a home in the United States to buy, that your annual income, household income, you could have two people pitching into that, but that gets like $150,000 a year. And they're not everybody makes $150,000 a year. That the cost of housing is outpacing household income. Some people have enough to buy multiple properties, and too many people have enough money to buy zero. And when we were talking about the college debt forgiveness topic on a previous day, we'd get callers, and typically from an older generation, saying, oh, back in my day, I paid for myself to go through school, and then I bought my house, and it's, yeah. And that's true of the people in my dad's generation, the people just a little bit younger than my dad. People were able to buy homes and go to college on the GI Bill. People where college costs what it costs for my dad and my grandpa, which you could earn that amount during a summer job. And when the cost of a house was, you know, twice as expensive as a, you know, average middle class salary. It ain't that anymore. But things are out of whack, and we got to get them back together in whack. And what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about housing prices? We're going to have a guest on at 11:15 to talk about one idea, but wanted to hear your thoughts about that as well. That even in a day after the Super Bowl, I don't want to just talk about the Super Bowl. If For me, it is avocation. It is shared experience, but it is for fun. But we're talking about what we've got to have our shared experience about. It's got to be what's really impacting people's lives. Joy is part of that. Faith is part of that. Fear is part of that. Where we live is a big, big part of that. So your thoughts on that are interesting and important to me. And we welcome. The call-in number here is 202-808-9925. I also want to say something about patriotism. Actually, I'll hold up anything on patriotism. I want to say something about presidents, because I said I would. If we're looking, I just made a quick list. And you might have thoughts about presidents as well before we wrap today. We'll do a speed round before the show is over. If we look at presidents, and let's take the last 50 years. And let's take criteria, no particular order. Whether think in terms of charisma, let's think in terms of accomplishments. Level of corruption. And I don't think that level is ever 0% or 100%, right? I think there's always stuff that the government does that's good, and I think there's always weird stuff that happens, no matter who is president, the nature of power. If we look at sort of major or medium-sized constitutional threat, it's not just personal scandal, but something that's really sort of a constitutional scandal, intellect, personal values, and virtue. And we are going to compare presidents in a falsely, not maybe falsely, because we do have a binary political party structure at this point in the movie. If we were going to look at the students who, the presidents who are sort of bad students, who weren't all that, who didn't have all that much processing speed. If we were looking at presidents bad for the Constitution, like Nixon with Watergate, Reagan with Iran-Contra, the younger Bush with the invasion of Iraq, Trump with January 6th being impeached twice with the Ukraine scandal that is linked to what is the greatest risk we've got internationally, the greatest risk to Europe and to post-World War II sort of pro-democracy coalition that we've seen. I gotta say, the Republican Party presidents are scoring really low over the last 50 years. It's really bad. Like, we tend to, you have this thing where it's like, oh, Bush is the worst president ever. And then Trump. It's like, oh, and I have friends who say, oh, man, I used to think Bush is the worst. Now we have Trump. You're not crazy. Republican presidents for a while, and I'd say since Eisenhower, it's been a pretty bad scene, man. It's been, if you rate a, like, Ronald Reagan wasn't anybody's Mensa candidate. Good-looking guy, great hair. At least average actor. Terrific spokesperson for GE. Became a terrific spokesperson for market fundamentalism. Clearly elected president twice. George Bush the Elder, I actually think, loved the country and was no dummy. Disciplined, hardworking guy. His son, well, it was his son. And he tapped into the main vein of the right-wing movement, was able to get elected two times. But he was nobody's Mensa candidate. And the invasion of Iraq was one of the worst mistakes this country has made. It was a real blunder. And one that wasn't well-motivated. Donald Trump is about as bad as it could be. I hesitate to say that. I don't want to dare fate. And you want to say, in terms of who is good or bad for middle class, like Abraham Lincoln, Dwight Eisenhower, good for the middle class, just fine. Republican presidents over the last 50 years, really bad for the middle class. Like, really bad. Huge rise in wealth gaps ever since Reagan. Just a grind, just a pride-swallowing siege to increase the wealth share of upper-income Americans. And for Americans who don't need income because their money is generated from wealth itself, not from labor or inventing or producing anything. That if you just compare, and look on their side, and these are not perfect people, and they're not people of perfect accomplishments, but if you just had a presidential decathlon, and you took Barack Obama, and you took Joe Biden, you took Jimmy Carter, and yeah, you took Bill Clinton, and you had the Republican Democratic presidents compete on intellect, I know what team I'm picking. If you pick them on major constitutional scandal, and I don't mean like something that they're trying to, like Benghazi wackiness, right? I'm talking about major invasion, major attempt to overturn an election. I'm talking about big, big stuff. It's really, it's not very close. If you want to look at who is better for the middle class, frankly, who is better for the economy, where the major recessions happen? Also, not close. So, we've got to have an eye. If you want to rank, you want to compare political parties, you need more than one. You know, we do this all election by election. But I think at this point, it's fair to look back at the last 50 or so years and say, it's not very close. They're having a hard time picking presidents. And I don't think it's a glitch. I think it's a feature. If you are of reasonable mind, you want to get things done, you want to solve problems, you have a harder time winning a Republican primary now. And I say that as someone who was raised by Republican grandparents entirely. I was raised by my parents, but to be clear, but surrounded by large Republican family entirely. I say this as someone who probably likes Teddy Roosevelt more than I should. That the track record on presidents ain't great. Another thing I want to say is I do want to say something about patriotism. And it is related to this Super Bowl absurdity, this fixation, which I share. And that is, when we abandon the deep beats of our nation, we miss opportunities to guide the orchestra. I will say that again. When we abandon the deep beats of the nation, we miss opportunities to guide the orchestra. The Republican movement, the right-wing movement, to try to subvert Christianity, to try to somehow convince people that the purpose of it was to support the waging of war and support the division, the amalgamation of wealth at the upper levels. Just twistification of Christianity. That tapping into cultural symbols, waving the flag with vigor, and trying not to ever let it mean true justice, trying to make sure it doesn't ever mean redemption, trying to make sure that all it needs to mean is beating one's chest for whatever military aggression or whatever economic aggression you want to do, and maybe just cover over any sin, cloak ourselves in that flag. I want to implore progressives. I want to implore people who love democracy. I want to implore people who thinks that the nation should take care of, that we should take care of one another. That as a country, we should do a little better to take care of one another. That we should lean into our symbolism. That we should make sure that we give definition to the flag, that we can love America. We avoided fascism in this country full on. We did get it right in World War II. We did defeat fascism taking over the world. We didn't allow Soviet tyranny after World War II. We were slow in abolishing slavery. But FDR really did beat tyranny with social democracy and help the might of the world do something to address wealth disparity. Really did save democracy on January 6th. But we can love America, and we should. And it's the only way we'll be able to lead America.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We're talking about housing. We're talking about sharing homes. We're talking about how we can lower housing costs in just a moment. This is Tom's show.
Do you have an old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams and that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, How Big Business Destroyed the American Dream. And next spring you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light, and because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
We're on the air with Cass Steele of HomeShare Oregon. We're talking about housing. So we know across the country, we'll use Oregon as an example, yeah, which happens to be where I live, that we have a housing shortage, and that impacting housing costs for all sorts of people and standard of living for all sorts of people. What we also know is it's expensive to buy a new one. And the critical arithmetic we just did, there's 100, this is Tess's math. You have 111,000 units too short in Oregon. If it costs $350,000 to make a new one, that's nearly $39 billion. We could round up to $40 billion. You extrapolate that out around the state, right? We're talking trillions of dollars if we try to just build our way out of our housing shortage. We should be building more homes for sure, but there are other things we should be doing as well. And Tess is pitching the thing that they're working on. Appreciate that. We like to be solutions oriented here and not only problem spotters. And Tess was just talking about how if we tapped into some of what our habit was as a nation, that we might actually help address this problem. Please continue your story, Tess.
Sure. So, you know, there's 1.5 million owner-occupied homes across the state of Oregon that have a vacant bedroom available. And simultaneously, studies show that about one out of every three Oregon homeowners are mortgage burdened, which means that they're spending more than 30% of their income on housing. And this disproportionately really impacts our seniors, many of them who are living on a fixed income. And in Oregon, anyway, there's reports that almost 40% of our seniors over the age of 65 self-report that they're at risk of foreclosure. And it's because they simply don't have enough financial resilience to be able to keep up with inflation and some of the other costs that they just never in a million years imagined would become so expensive. And so we took a look at that number and felt, you know, if we could incentivize just 2% of those 1.5 million homeowners to rent a spare bedroom, we could house 30,000 people affordably, potentially help keep 30,000 people in their homes with no new infrastructure.
So give me that percentage again. I could probably do it on my own, but give me that percentage again.
If we were able to penetrate about 2% of Oregon homeowners out of the 1.5 million owner-occupied homes across, that have a vacant bedroom, it's around 30,000 units.
Yep.
And we could house, and when it comes to this, you're killing two problems with one stone. You're helping people stay in the homes that they love and that they're at risk of losing.
Yeah.
And that is a huge crisis right now among our seniors and some of their biggest worries. And simultaneously, you're expanding access to affordable housing because the average home sharing agreement, at least in the state of Oregon, it fluctuates between, you know, $600 and $800 per month. And so when you think about it like that and you think about infrastructure, the beauty of this is through really putting to work this underutilized housing stock, in addition to helping two vulnerable populations, both homeowner and housemate, you're also really encouraging the use of other infrastructure development. So schools are already built, fire stations are already built, you know, water and sewer is already
in. You don't have to build a whole bunch of urban sprawl because stuff is already in place. They're taking us to break. I really think there's an interesting model for people to look at across the country because I'm really inspired by what you're doing. Give your website real quick so people can find out more.
It's www.homeshareoregon.org.
Thank you, Home Share folks. Thank you so much, Tess. Appreciate you.
To the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Jefferson Smith. 202-808-9925. Speed round coming up.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You can have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day with no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581.
The Shaw 101. News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. A shooting on the campus of Michigan State University. Police say a gunman opened fire in multiple locations on campus, killing three and wounding five before running away. Police later located the gunman dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
The shooting marks the 67th mass shooting in the U.S. this year, and it comes 5 years to the day after the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. Michigan Secretary of State describing last night's shooting as unfathomable, saying this repetitive terror cannot continue. We must come together and do whatever it takes to protect our kids and communities from gun violence.
ABC's Rena Roy. U.S. crews say they've now recovered the main payload of the Chinese spy balloon that was shot down off the coast of South Carolina. A judge in Georgia has ordered the partial release of a report by a special grand jury that investigated alleged interference in the 2020 election by former President Trump and allies. This is ABC News.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sure.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com.
And we're back. And as promised, it's time for Speed Round. Angela from New York, New York, you first.
Hi, I'm calling about the housing situation, about why we can't afford houses. And put it simply, it's just another part of the, 40-plus years of the takedown of the middle class, which is barely existent at this point. I mean, do they really want us to own a home, if you think about it? Because the way things have been set up since that time, since the 70s, after the boomers, is that, you know, in order to keep people from really taking part in life and civics and voting and, you know, being empowered, you have people who are too busy trying to survive. And this is why you have student loan debt, which started in the 70s, 80s. This is why wages were suppressed, starting with Ronald Reagan. He killed all the unions. At this point, to be, you know, if you look at the situation, corporations are buying a huge amount of the housing stock out there. And what are they doing with it? They're turning around, they're renting it out at ridiculous amounts of money. Now, this is just another example of the wealth transfer that's taking place. And it's all because, okay, and whenever I hear someone who's a boomer talk about, well, I paid back my student loans, this is because that generation, although they were a generation that brought great change to this country, unfortunately, they scared the hell out of the powers that be, because things changed, okay? All of these movements in the 60s, civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, all of this stuff was as a result of an empowered middle class. Now, what do we have? We have debt slaves, okay? Myself included. I'm Gen X, you know, and millennials and Gen Z. We are basically debt slaves at this point. We are so busy trying to survive that we don't have time to really, really, really get involved and see what's going on. Everybody, people think it's apathy. It's not apathy. It's just trying to get through the day and trying to raise our families and trying to pay our bills. This is exactly what it's about. That's why nobody can afford a house. Yep. They don't want us to have one. Just like they don't want us to have a decent job. They don't want us to have anything, because if we have something, then we pose a threat, don't we?
Yeah.
Angela,
finish your thought. We're in speed round, but finish your thought. I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, this is the reason behind the push against student loan forgiveness. That's the biggest fear right now, because if you take away a lot of that, if you empower, if you give a little bit of relief due to student loan relief, there's going to be people who are going to demand things like jobs that pay well.
No, giving people real freedom scares folks who would be worried what they might do with that real freedom. I appreciate you, Angela. Joy, you're up.
Hello, Jefferson. I loved what the caller just said. I agree with her wholeheartedly. I'm a boomer. And we're doing okay, pension, Social Security. But the great inequality we have now is greater than the Gilded Age.
Yeah.
And you see homeless people in every city. In San Francisco, they have tents along the sidewalks. That's ridiculous. This is the richest country in the world. And our government is so damn corrupt, pardon my English, but this upsets me. And then we have these endless wars. Well, if we can pay the billions for these endless wars, we can help the people of the United States. And that's what our Congress and President are supposed to do, but they're not. And every other country in the world except us has Medicare for All. And Medicare for All should be a human right.
Well, Joy, I appreciate it, Joy. I appreciate the call. We're going to stick with speed round. That doesn't diminish anything you're saying. In fact, maybe it amplifies it. Reformer from Eagle Rock, you win the Most Patient Listener Award. How you doing? You are on speed round.
Quite well, thanks. Yeah, I'll go fast.
housing. I've been without a residence. I'm a veteran. I've been without a residence since 1986. And there's nothing anybody has said that will cure it. And it is curable. That's one thing. The other, as regards the best president, he said the art of good government is being honest. And that was a Republican and a framer. And those two things, included with what we've done with our taxes, Tom Hartman asked a question, what would Jefferson do? He wrote a book. I can't find it. It's not in print anymore. But I wanted to ask him, what would Jefferson do? And you're Jefferson, so I can ask you. What would Jefferson do about a graduated tax system? Because there is the crux of that woman just talked about, making slavery. What's that?
No, the quick answer I'd give you, and thank you for the call, and thank you for the question, so that I stick to the spirit of speed round, the answer is I'd have one. We've moved away from a graduated income tax, and in fact, we've moved towards whatever the opposite of graduated did, a regressive, declining income tax, if you consider ownership income as income, right? Because so much of what drives wealth is not earned income, but his unearned income is capital gains. So that'd be my quick answer. We could go more into it, but let's get to Nicole from Woodstock. Go ahead, Nicole.
Hi, I just wanted to give a reality check of what's happening in my area. It's a beautiful area, upstate New York, Hudson Valley. We've had definitely a housing crisis, I would call it. I know dozens of people personally. What's happening here is people from New York City moved up to our area when COVID happened because suddenly they could work from home and they wanted to get out of the city. They bought property sight unseen. They offered $100,000 over the asking price. And I know literally dozens of people who their building got bought. They immediately doubled the rents, and I mean doubled the rents, sometimes triple. And, of course, those people had to move out. They can't instantly pay double the rent overnight. And I've been trying to help all those people for a couple years now by just looking online and trying to pass them leads. And last week, this happened to us, myself and my husband. We're now out of a home. Our building got bought. There's nothing in our price range, zero zilch within a 200-mile radius, and we don't know what we're going to do. So we're just doing a lot of praying and putting the word out there to friends and family and asking people to keep their eyes and ears open. But it's a real situation. There's a lot of people who are homeless. That number's growing daily. And it's a real reality. And then I wanted to quickly speak to the woman who talked about home sharing because they just started that here in our town.
Great.
And the reaction I'm seeing from people, elderly people, are, why would I let a stranger into my house? I'm not going to do that. They're going to steal from me. And it's a shame. You know, it's like people can't trust people. I know people have taken advantage of that program, and it's working beautifully for them. Younger people and with the elderly, they just have to do 3 to 5 hours of some kind of work or maybe just companionship, and they have a free place to live, and it works out beautifully. But unfortunately, there are also the other side of that coin is a lot of people are not willing to take in people into their homes because they're afraid.
Sure.
They're afraid of what people are going to
do.
So it's a real situation, and now that it's hit me personally,
I just wanted to call and let you know. Yeah.
Because we don't know what we're going to do. And we're elderly. Yeah. My husband's 72.
Yeah.
I'm 68. And it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And it changed somehow, and I don't know how that's going to happen.
Well, first of all, good luck to you. And that's a thin gruel of, it's not much sucker, but I do feel for you, and you're not alone, right? When we see in urban areas, for instance, I live in a pretty urban area, and we see in urban areas the rise in homelessness. And people think it's something about those homeless people, right? Well, certainly it is. Right, there is usually a substance abuse challenge or mental health challenge, right? That is related to that. And yet, if you look at the curvature of homelessness rates and the curvature of housing prices, quite related. As housing prices go up, as housing affordability gets more challenging, homelessness goes up. It ain't rocket science. It's basic arithmetic. So if you want to do something about homelessness, what the Donald Trump solution would be is, I don't know, arrest them? I don't know, put them in work camps? I don't know what the solution is. Maybe there isn't one. It's just own the libs. But there does need to be shelter space. There does need to be sort of new sort of housing solutions. But you got to do something just about overall housing capacity, including home sharing. And I do think that that as more people have good experiences, people are like, oh, maybe I'll get in on that, right? I think it's inevitable that multi-generational living is better. It's better for younger people. It's better for older people. It's safer. It is more edifying. It teaches you more stuff, right? It keeps you current or teaches you history. It's just better. And it's how human societies have organized, really until the industrial era, when people started moving away from farm societies, moving into cities, we start just pulling away from intergenerational living. It is, I think it's inevitable, but we should hasten it. Let's keep the speed round so I don't cheat on that. Let's go to Robin from Kingston. Go ahead, Robin.
Hey, Jefferson, how are you doing? Nice to hear you.
Likewise.
This call is about how easy it is to own the libs, and I pay attention a lot during the election period and all of the organizations that have come online. And again, this is a process of identifying some allegedly left groups that I wonder if they are. I tend to think not. And I'm just going to name them. There's one that's called Turnout Pack, and they support heartily the Lincoln Project, which is a Lincoln Trojan horse project to me. Another one is Train Democrats. And on their site and on their messaging, they asked the question, which elections did you vote in, 2020, 2016, 2012, 2008? Seems there are a few elections missing there. Then there's another one called Medicare for All. Medicare for All asked me to support Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney would never, ever vote for Medicare for All. They want me to send her letters and congratulations and send them money. And then, again, the other Lincoln Trojan Horse Project is somewhat of a democratic mind control because the wording and writing is absolutely beautiful, but they are Republicans. So, anyways, I just wanted to throw that into the speed round to get your mind going on it and actually to get especially the gray-haired people out there to say, hey, don't get owned by the right wing. You know, we've been showing up to all of our things waving a white flag, and it's like not very hard to beat.
Yeah, and you meant owning libs in a different way, not just criticizing, but in fact trying to buy them. Our Dean from Colorado Springs, Colorado, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good.
I was just listening to your program today on TV, and I actually belong to a home share program.
Oh, thank you for doing that.
Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I don't want to mention the name. I don't know if I can. But the mechanic of it, basically, this is designed for seniors. And it's also designed for multi-generational, depending on disabilities. What they do, they go in. It's a big organization here in the Springs, actually, Colorado Springs. What they do, they go in. I had an interview, approximately about 2 hours, a personal one-on-one interview with a coordinator. She coordinates. She matches people in depth interview. And then there's a two-week trial period. They are basically there as a mentor, a mediator. There's a two-week trial period moving in, seeing if it works for you.
Yeah, and the coordinator and the matching and the two-week trial period help build your comfort level. Artie, I want to thank you so much for calling. And actually, if you could leave our team or ping me, on Twitter, Jefferson D. Smith, or you can tell the team the information about your program. I'd love to look it up. Thank you so much. We're going to break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be right back with a big finish here on the Tom Hartman Program.
going to bed at a decent hour didn't always mean I got enough sleep. Often I was either too hot, too cold, just not comfortable. That changed with my Cozy Earth bedding, the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding on the planet. Cozy Earth bedding is naturally temperature regulating, so Louise and I sleep great in any weather. And we're not alone. Like this 5-star review from Laura, quote, "My husband and I are getting the best sleep we've ever had, to the point where we don't wake up in the middle of the night because we're so comfortable. I can't wait to buy more colors." Cozy Earth bedding is made from the finest materials, including premium viscose, made from highly sustainable bamboo. And Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's favorite things 5 years in a row. Whether it's their luxury sheets, available in 5 awesome colors, loungewear, pajamas, or premium waffle bath towels, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, and save 35%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom, T-H-O-M. Louise and I love this bedding, and you will too. CozyEarth.com.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Anne Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale is going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
All right. If we race, if we go fast, we can clear the board. Let's see if we can do it. If everybody goes like 20 seconds, we can do it. I'll do my part. Dwayne from Chicago, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to, I don't want to sound bad, but I want to talk about how some of this stuff is just rooted in racism.
For sure.
And because the poorer neighborhoods and everybody looks down on the poor and doesn't want to buy those homes in those neighborhoods where the police are treating people bad and where there's nowhere to shop and where everybody's like living well below their means, well at the poverty line, nobody wants to live in those neighborhoods. And some of those people that have called in, they could move right into some of those houses and make the neighborhood better and bring up property values for the people that are already there, but they don't want to live there.
Well, there's no question, and the not only the current reality is racism, but historical racism has been a key driver in housing challenges, including, heck, six blocks away from me, the year I was born, a black family couldn't get a loan for a house. You had red line, you weren't allowed to do it. So this hasn't been about, you know, bootstraps and racial algebra. This has just been about realities and laws been put in place and regulations been put in place. All right. Paul from Lucerne, you got about 20 seconds.
Hey, Jefferson, I'd like to stick to the shared experience of the Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl is the most violent day for domestic violence. More partners get beat up yesterday than any other day of the year. So we should use our shared experience to recognize domestic violence and try to do something about it.
I appreciate the call, Paul. Teresa, we got about a minute left. You got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Jefferson?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we totally leave the sports subject, I kind of have a different slant on the sports thing because I date a fellow who's just, I think he's obsessed by sports. And he and his adult children, that's all they talk about, sports. And I think that sometimes it gets so out of balance, maybe with an individual or family, so sports is fine. But I swear, I've never seen anything like it in this family. You know, they've all done well, and they're good people. But all they talk about are ball games and scores. And sure. I just think sometimes, it's like everything else isn't in balance.
No, and sports isn't in balance. And if we look at the fall of ancient Rome, bread and circuses is what Roman leaders used to distract people from what was happening with the fundamentals of their economy and the fundamentals of what should have been more of a democracy. And I do still want us to look for those areas of shared experience and not merely be sad about them, but also celebrate where we can find that third space, find those places where we can be together. And I don't want them to just be about tackling people, to be clear from my own viewpoint, but I do celebrate a chance when we have the chance to get together for community. I think the funniest thing about the Super Bowl, or the most ironic, is that I actually think that what is masking or masked by so this sense of kind of gladiatorial battle is actually people getting together because they want community. People getting together because they want friendship. I think that's why we have this. This is why I'm so grateful to be among you and to be with you. It's a chance for us to be together because we're better together. And we can make things better together rather than getting a lot worse when we're apart. I want to say thanks so much, Tom Hartman. Audience, Tom will be back with us. I'm so grateful. And I do want to say, as we're celebrating or acknowledging a day that's supposed to be a day of love tomorrow, think about the ways that we can love our community, love our neighbor, love the things that are lovable about our country. Make sure the symbols of our country aren't misappropriated to try to stand for violence and greed. The symbols of our country can stand for love. They can stand for being strong together.
To Tom Thanks. Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Appreciate you, everybody. You be well.
Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. With 20-plus years of experience combined with new tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects easy. Angie has the experts you need, whether it's your first repair, your first renovation project, or upgrading your home before you sell. Angie is your personal home expert with 150 million-plus customers served to date. Angie provides new digital tools and innovative solutions to make it easier than ever to get that home project done right. We recently sprung a leak on our roof. The free Angie mobile app came to our rescue. Now it's being fixed. Angie gets the stress that home projects can cause. They make tackling home service projects a breeze from start to finish. Plus, they have upfront project pricing, so you'll know what you'll pay before you start. Download the free Angie mobile.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.